Blackwater, The Wagner Group, Executive Outcomes, The Flying Tigers, The Swiss Guard, The White Company, The Knights Templar, The Varangian Guard, Clercus of Sparta, Pythagoras the Spartan, Mentor of Rhodes, Socrates of Achaea. The list is endless. Mercenaries, guns for hire, soldiers of fortune, private military companies, private security contractors, dirty deeds done not so dirt cheap. History is replete with privatized militaries. Call them what you want. They have been around for a very long time, and they are very likely not going away anytime soon. And like it or not, wars are good, very good, for business. Furthermore, history tells us that more people are enslaved and killed by such means as greed, corruption, oppression, and tyranny than by any other means. So choose the red pill, remove your blinders, all of them, and take a good sensory inventory of what you're being told and shown to believe. Because here we go. Hello everyone, and welcome to another episode of Oconus, The Contractor's Life. Talking from the relatively insular and bucolic rural foothills of northwestern Washington State, I'm your host, Scott Dresser. Life as a private security contractor in a hostile or a war-torn zone, or, as some call it, an austere or a non-permissive environment. Well, it is a mixed bag of blessings. Some good and some not so good. All in all, though, private security contracting is much the same as life. It is what you make it. The MENA region, or the Middle East North Africa region. Lands of enchantment, lands of mystery, lands of the old ones and the ancient ones. Myths, legends, folklore, maybe. If you believe what you read in the ancient and the holy texts, then you know that it all centered around what we refer to as the MENA region. That's right, the Mediterranean. And you probably also know that to every legend or myth, there is a base of at least some truth.
Hello everyone, and welcome to episode 7 of the 4th season of Oconus, The Contractor's Life. This episode, it is just you and me. No guests for this episode. I will have other additional guests as I did in the previous two episodes, but this one, it's just me and you. So picking up where I left off in this solo quest in the podcast in this series. So we're in Bagram. We're in the Bagram area at the Bagram base in Afghanistan. And I think to this day you can use your mapping software of choice and you're going to find where it is. It may or may not look the same as it did. And yes, for those that are wondering, that is the base that we gave up that got all the news attention earlier in the tenure of the current President of the United States of America when we did that hasty exfil. So we're there on the ground, and as I said, at that time I'm working with a British company by the name of Blue Hackle. And on this project that we're on, because there were three projects I was a part of, there was some overlap to some extent with one or two of them, but I've been there, I think at this point in the conversation, somewhere between 1 and 2 weeks. I'm starting to get to know the guys, they're starting to get to know me, we're getting to know each other, and it becomes fairly clear to me somewhere between the first and second week, and that some of these guys, most of them, not all of them, but certainly most of them, are having a difficult time focusing on their mission, focusing on their job, their duties. And for a variety of reasons, people who are not adjusted or well-adjusted in the contracting world sometimes, maybe oftentimes, have difficulty adjusting to new projects, new scenery, you know, new locations, you know, new marching orders, whatever you want to call it. And we did have that, and I think I may have touched on this one particular one. It was around the second week. It might have even been the first week that we were on the ground there on this project. And one of the guys, for whatever reason, spouted off rather loudly and vocally about the project in general, and just went on a rant as he made his way outside the very large doors that part of this perimeter area where we were working that helped, you know, secure it. It was, and this particular day, as I recollect, there was unofficially, I was told there was a third one. I never really saw it, but it might have been there. Who knows? If so, it was really well concealed. But he went at it, and everybody was like, whoa, what the F? What was that all about? Some of us, you know, attempted to apologize on his behalf to the client rep that was there at the time, and he took it gracefully. And anyway, so this guy came back eventually. In the meantime, I was talking with one or two, maybe even three of the other guys, and you know, we're just all taking some deep breaths, trying to relax about it. He comes back, and I know that at least two guys are in there talking with him, because we had already discussed it. And I walked in, and a conversation ensued, let's just put it that way. And I made it pretty darn clear that what he did, and I believe one of the exact verbatim quotes was, that was just really jackass stupid. But anyway, so I made it pretty clear that, you know, A, you can't be doing that in front of the client, and B, that's just wholly unprofessional. If you got to get it out of your system, fine, we understand, but you do it back at quarters when we're off the job, or when everybody looks around and says, yep, nobody is within listening distance. Okay, and that's a pretty rare thing, but you know, there are places in some of these countries where, yeah, I mean, they might be listening, but they're not going to hear, you know. Anyway, so, you know, we had those kinds of issues. And to be sure, there was a lot of it's a rather base blue collar term, but there was a lot of dick smacking and dick wavering going on that project. You know, it's just the way that some guys are. And as I've stated before, we had our share of guys that came through there on that project that A, shouldn't have been in the country in the first place, B, shouldn't have been a contractor, and C, should have been shown the back door when these started cropping up and becoming issues. Why the company didn't address them the way that some of us thought it should have been addressed, who knows? But they didn't. Anyway, so we got through that one. Things kind of settled down a little bit. He wasn't the only one, but he certainly was one of those guys that claimed to be there just until some other project kicked off that he was, that he was yearning for. And I don't recollect when he left, if he left because that was the case, or if he had been replaced. And it might have been that they were replacing him. They, you know, because oftentimes in the contracting world, when you want to get rid of somebody, unless they just do something wholly egregious, you want to, the extent that you can, hang on to them until you can get the replacement there, because you've got to have certain operating numbers to make certain things happen. So anyway, he did eventually leave, and there is a part of me that seems to recollect that he did not leave on his own terms, but you know, that's that. So, you know, we had a number, and when I say number, I mean, I don't have... You know, it might have been 10, it might have been 50, it might have been 100. I mean, there were just, it seemed like not every day seemed to have issues. And it became pretty clear, you know, we got a replacement POC client rep there on the ground somewhere around the 4-week mark, as I want to say. It might have been 6 weeks before that was complete. You know, at first, he and I hit it off pretty good. And, you know, he tried to schmooze and get along with everybody. And for a time, he, you know, he said, hey, you guys are the security experts, yada, 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 whatever. So, you know, there was a lot of coordination going back and forth. And, you know, it was a pretty good thing. As it turned out, and I'm not going to, you know, I won't mention the dude's name, but he was, at least he claimed to be a Marine veteran. And I think I've mentioned this before in other things. But I mean, this guy was like so many people that you meet that are not your seasoned, experienced contractors, you know, chest thumping and bragging and telling war stories and telling everybody how cool he is. When in private, when he and I were talking, just the two of us, whether back in the villa where we were or at work, he was an average nobody Marine. He was, I forget his exact title, and I don't recollect his MOS. You could probably look it up and find it by direct correlation. But he worked in the flight tower. And as I recollect, it was the Cherry something Marine Corps Air Base north of where I was, north of Camp Pendleton. So Cherry Point, I think it was what it was. Yeah, Cherry Point. And it's like, okay, cool, you know, because I've always said, man, I don't care what your MOS or what your background is, as long as you're a good, decent person and you can do the job at hand. If you can do the job that you were hired to do, that's all that matters. But when you start carrying on, like, and there I was, you know, and constantly telling me about your resume, you know, it doesn't take long for me to go, oh, shit, here we go, another one of them. And he turned out to be that way. But again, there was only so much I could say and do because, again, he was direct hire by the client. Well, he was a subcontractor. He worked for another company that contracted with the client for the work he was doing. And the client at one point had to make it clear to us a couple times that he was the number three guy. And that, you know, if we have an issue with the guy, to come to him about it. And at some point, you know, I did. Because me and the number one and number two guys, you know, finally recognized who was who. I'll just leave it at that. You know, there's an old adage that real recognizes real. And so we did have eventually what happens, and it's a long process, you know, and it only takes about 4 to 6 weeks to really get there. To start seeing this start to happen, and by the second and third month, it's like, oh shit, not again. But anyway, this guy turned out to be a turd ball. He was a client rep, so there really wasn't a whole lot at the time we could do. And unfortunately, the way it played out, because not everybody, but most of the guys I was working with were either new or new enough to contracting that they thought themselves to be some super hot shit kind of high speed dude. And they didn't want to listen to the voice of experience. They didn't want to listen to anything. They wanted to do what they wanted to do. And let's just say that, and I'll spell this stuff out in detail over the course of episodes as best as I recollect it. But let's just say that they got way too comfortable and way too close to the client and the client reps, and started engaging in some really shady stuff. And because they thought they were protected because the client liked them, you know, on a personality basis, on a personal basis, not necessarily because of what they were doing or the quality of service that they were providing. So, you know, every project, every location, every change of scenery, there is some degree of, you know, same as the one before, but there's always new elements. Okay, there's always new things that you didn't have or you haven't experienced yet, and it's like, wow, got to deal with this. So, but on whole, on measure, on balance, for the most part, it was a good experience. I enjoyed it. We were paid well. We had good accommodations. We were taken care of. We didn't have everything we wanted. We didn't have everything we needed. Sometimes we got a little creative to get some of those things. And I can talk about some of that stuff later in other episodes. Because I am trying, to the best I can, I'm trying to keep stuff chronological. As I've stated before, there's stuff I'm going to have to go back and clean up, stitch together, And maybe detail it a little bit better so it makes a little bit more sense. Some of it might be what some people might think if they've ever had a similar experience. Wow, that must have been a frightful moment, or wow, that was actually pretty funny. But you'd have to be there for it to be funny, and it was usually only funny in hindsight, whether it was days, weeks, or months later, or in some cases, maybe even years. At this base, you pretty much had every entity you could think of. And like I've said before, it's a very large base. It was one of three of the United States Air Force's large air bases. That's not to say that they didn't have presence elsewhere, but these were the three largest U.S. air bases. This was one of the three of the largest. I was at two of them. One of them I wasn't at. And arguably, I kind of wanted to be there just because I, you know, met and worked with guys that had been there and had worked there. And they made it sound like it was kind of chill, relaxed. It had things that we didn't have. And, you know, the projects were kind of sort of the same. But anyway, that being said, that was my first experience at Bagram. Not my first experience necessarily in Afghanistan, but my first experience there. And it was kind of a surreal feeling, especially when, as time goes on and you recognize that you're basically in a great big, massively huge dust bowl with a big U.S. air base in the middle of it, and that the bad guys are pretty much everywhere, in the hills, the mountains, in the towns, the villas, whatever, they're everywhere. And probably even on the base, trying to the best that they can to blend in. And gain intelligence or secrets or anything else that they think might benefit whoever they're being paid by. So, with that being said, I want to thank you and everyone who took time out of your day or afternoon or evening to listen to me talk about private security contracting overseas, as well as some of my experiences occasionally as a private security contractor here in the States. Thank you to my wife. Thank you to my family, my friends, and all the people, male and female, who have been and still are a part of my life. And remember, folks, it takes a team. The grass is not always greener on the other side. Be careful what you wish for. You might just get it. Stay humble, stay safe, and keep others safe by being aware and staying frosty. And until next time, keep it real.
Okonis the Contractor's Life extends a special thank you to music composer Kava Cohen and to Colin Perry of Ninja Tracks for allowing Okonis the Contractor's Life the use of Kava's song, Heavy Clutch, from the music soundtrack to the game Forza Motorsport 7. And also a big thank you to Andres Rodriguez, who can be found at the Fiverr website for his excellent original music scores.